Are you ready for the word this morning? Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you can do so much with a humble heart. You can do so much with humility. You oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And we acknowledge our need of you this morning. I pray great grace upon everybody here, Lord, under the sound of my voice, that we would all be enriched and strengthened by your power perfected in our human weakness. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Now, first service did a great job, so don't be outdone by them. I mean, there was power and backing to this. Let's say it together. These are our Bibles. We are who God says we are. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says, we've been transformed. We've been remade. We are not who our past says we are. We are held. We are his. And we are home in Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our new series this morning on amazing grace, because the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. He said it's imperative that Grace Church become a house full of priests who minister to one another. Amen. Amen. Who minister to each other, but also minister to the world outside through the strength and the energy, the power that God supplies. There's a lot of burnout in church, a lot of disgruntled church members here, there, and everywhere. And a lot of that happens because people try to serve God in their own strength. But as we'll see this morning, there's not only a grace that saves you, there's a grace and a power that ignites you to serve God by his power, not by yours. Amen. So we're going to get into that this morning. Let's look again at the definition of the grace of God. This is very important. I believe it's God's empowering presence and ability. Everybody say ability. That allows us to be what we could not be without him and do what we could not do without him. Now, most people who maybe think that grace is just what you say over your meal, or people who believe that grace is just unmerited favor. There's a side of God's grace that is unmerited favor, but there's more to it than just that. It has many sides, many dimensions, as I've showed you through 1 Peter chapter 4. But people who shorten the definition or limit the definition of God's grace don't understand that that grace is God's power where we don't have power. Grace is God's ability where we don't have ability. I cannot make myself a born-again Christian. Now, that ought to excite you. Because if you made yourself a Christian, you might be able to unmake yourself one. So only the power of God, John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him, not earned him, received him. It doesn't say to as many as deserved him. It says to as many as received him, to them, everybody say to them. That's a specific group. To them he gave the power to become children of God. So I don't have the power to make myself righteous. I don't have the power to make myself a new creation. He supplies the power, and that's what we're talking about. It's his presence, his ability that allows me to be righteous, saved, new creation, child of God, what I could not be without him. But how many of you know also, I could not articulate or communicate the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news that God is present here and now by his Spirit. I couldn't do that in my own ability. I mean, I'm the guy, remember, in speech class in college that was mortified to get up in front of class and share anything. And guess what? Because I didn't trust in myself, I didn't go to God and say, I'm clearly an amazing articulate speaker. You should choose me to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It's just the opposite. He chose me because I would not have chosen myself. Because grace and the ability and strength of God, which is supernatural, doesn't get poured into an independent, self-promoting person. It manifests in human humility. It manifests in human weakness. In other words, the acknowledgement that I need him. So my thought became, how many of you know, I didn't pick to do and to be what I am and what I do. I didn't pick that. I was chosen for that. John 15, you didn't choose me. I chose you, that you should go and bear much fruit. So he enlisted me. He called me. Now, did he overtake me on his own? Does he make me communicate the gospel? No. He works through my simple availability. And if it's good, if it's God, if it's grace coming out, then it's being poured out through Steve's submission and willingness to be used of God. Does that make sense to you? I like what Mike said last week. He said, our availability plus God's capability equals infinite possibility. So he's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. Remember in Exodus 4 when God got mad at Moses, he didn't get mad at Moses because Moses doubted Moses could free everybody. God got mad because Moses doubted that God could free everybody through Moses. Well, amen. I'll try preaching over here then. See if I can get some help. let's go to 1 Peter 4 real quick. 1 Peter 4, Gretchen read it to you this morning as part of our greeting passage. I like a church where even greeting time is scripturally based and motivated. Come on, somebody. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Be hospitable to each other without griping. Verse 10. As each one, how many? Each one. Everyone has received a gift. Minister it to each other as good owners. No, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The many-sided, many dimensions, many forms to God's grace. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. The New Living Translation says, let him speak as though God were speaking through him. And if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Isn't it fun to know that as a Christian, there's an ability to live the Christian life that comes from God? And not this saving grace has saved me, and now it's up to Steve to really work hard and use his own self-effort and willpower to be a good Christian. No, God's going to supply you a second grace. There's a saving grace that saves you. There's a second grace that will empower you to live the Christian life. It'll be ability beyond your own. Amen, amen. That's good news. The NIV says, be good stewards of the grace of God in its various forms. So let's recap. We looked at this 2 weeks ago. The first one of the many forms and many dimensions to the grace of God is saving grace. This is God's power to make you new. This is the goodness of God grace. Remember Dennis the Menace and the cookie story, right? They got all the cookies because Mrs. Wilson was so good, not because they're so good. Well, we've got so great a salvation, not because we're so good, but because he's so good. So this one actually falls in line with, it is undeserved favor. We have an abundance of riches. We did not deserve it. We didn't merit. We didn't earn it. We didn't occasion it. Amen. I am saved by the grace of God. I am saved by what he has done, and I'm righteous and I'm holy because he's righteous and holy, not because I always act like it. Amen. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. Amen. Amen. The True You book, which we're looking at on Tuesday nights right now in the Fellowship Hall, is based on how God sees you as a born-again Christian once his power has transformed you. And that's why people clamor to that book, because we're used to just living by how we feel, and we don't always feel so great about ourselves. And then we're used to just thinking the real reality is whatever we think or believe about ourselves. And how can I get a witness? We don't always think and believe the best about ourselves. So people clamor to the True You book because it's how God sees you and the real truth about you as a transformed child of God by his power. Amen. And so this Tuesday night, we're going to get into chapter 2, which is about spirit, soul, and body. Every born-again believer needs to have the revelation of spirit, soul, and body. Because how many of you ever wondered, how can I be so righteous and holy according to God's word, and then I'll do unrighteous and unholy things? You ever wondered that? I'm sure the enemy's brought that to your attention before. It's because your spirit is what got changed. When you got transformed, it was your spirit man. You didn't grow 6 inches taller, right? You didn't lose weight, I assume, immediately when you got saved. The transformation was your spirit. So your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved. Yeah. There's three New Testament scriptures about that. That's your mind being conformed to what's in your spirit, and then your body will be saved at the second coming. So the goodness of God, grace, is His saving grace. I've told you all the story many times that when I was in college playing baseball, I was 20 years old. I had been saved since I was 13, and I was trying so hard to get God to love me. Even though, how many of you know, I was made righteous at 13. But I had no idea, because I spent 7 years trying to get righteous enough for God to love me. So I spent 7 years in the wilderness of unbelief. I did not believe, nor did I know what had happened to me as a child of God. I wish somebody would have told me. But nonetheless, at age 20, I've told you the story where the Spirit of the Lord came into my room there at college. I had this incredible encounter with Jesus Christ. And it was in that moment where I felt so horrible as a Christian, like I couldn't measure up, that Jesus said to me, He said, "Steve, I don't love you because of what you do or what you don't do. I love you because of who I am." And it was in that moment, church, for the first time in my life, I knew that I knew that the real reality and what life was all about was based on Him and not based on me. That no matter what I did, I mean, I'm talking about overwhelming. I'm sure it was just a measure of His glory, not the full extent of His glory, but it was enough to undo me. But I had a revelation that no matter what I did as a human being, I would not have the power to change who He was. He exuded integrity. He exuded character. He exuded love. There was no way I had power to change how He felt about me. That, my friends, is the saving grace of God. That gives me security. I have security in my relationship with God. Why? Because He's so faithful, not because I always am. Come on, somebody. Are you tracking with me? Christianity is about Him and our continuing looking to Him. Keep your eyes on Him. You want to become more and more like Him in the growth and maturity process, please keep your eyes on Him. No human's ever been able to fix themselves by looking at themselves. Touch your neighbor and say, "Keep your eyes on the Master." And I'm not Him. Oh. So saving grace gives us our spiritual identity. It gives us security. One of the things we said 2 weeks ago that really stuck out to my son, Joshua. He's 13, and I like to ask the boys after church every once in a while, "What was your favorite part about church today?" And Joshua, who again is 13 years old, he said, "Dad," it was immediately said it. He said, "Dad, it was the part where you said that the devil can't make me bad. He can only make me think I'm bad. Because Jesus made me who I am." Come on, amen. And just a revelation. See, you've been made new by what? By His power, by His grace. I'm saved by grace through my faith, which is consent, which is receptivity. Okay? But the devil can't make you bad. He didn't make you anything. Jesus made you. First of all, you've been made in the image of God. And then, especially when you got born again, you were remade in your spirit. Now, somebody ought to give God praise for that this morning. Amen. Amen. So when we talk about, though, the Lord has asked us in this series to address universalism, and that's the idea that everybody is just saved on the planet, whether they love God or they've been born again or not, because God just so amazingly good. Well, no, faith is required. Consent is required. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is a great question. You tell me which is more loving. That God allows us to choose as human beings. We'll choose whether we're going to love and serve Him. And He's going to love us regardless of our choice. Or is it more loving that God chooses for us and He makes us love Him and makes us serve Him for all of eternity? Now, obviously, the first one is much more loving. Okay, so this idea that God's just going to make everybody saved and live eternally with Him doesn't make any sense. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I know, would never penetrate a human being, penetrate their spirit and heart without their consent. Amen. The root of the goodness of God is that he's given us a choice. God choosing for you is not goodness. God making you love and serve him is not goodness. See, universalism is just basically Calvinism repackaged. Calvinism, if you don't know, is simply the idea that God's chosen for everyone. He's elected some to go to heaven. He's elected some to go to hell. Nobody's choice matters. It's just a repackaging of an old doctrine. I believe in unlimited atonement in the sense that Jesus died for everybody. The offer is for every human being. But he's not entering their heart against their consent, birthing people that don't want to know him. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the apostle Paul is recounting his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And as he's recounting the story, he's quoting Jesus. And here's what Jesus told the apostle Paul. He said, I'm delivering you so you can take people from the power of Satan to the power of God to move them out of darkness into light. And then listen, he said, so that they might receive forgiveness of sins. He did not say so they can discover that they're already forgiven. No, he said that they could receive forgiveness of sins. So upon hearing the truth that forgiveness has been offered to everybody, we receive forgiveness of sins. How? In the person of Jesus Christ. He is the forgiver. So when you got born again, he came in you. He wouldn't even come in you if your temple hadn't been cleansed. So he cleansed the temple for everybody at the cross so that the Spirit of God could come in at consent. And we call that faith. But how many of you know it's really not a one-time consenting? We want to say yes to the Lord every day. I want, as a good branch, I want to abide in him every day. I don't want to just receive one time. All that you need to be saved and be a child of God has already been done. You don't earn it. You simply receive it. All you need for all your sins, past, present, and future, to be forgiven, that's already been paid for. Jesus doesn't come down here and die every time you sin. Come on, amen. So it's been offered, it's been extended, we simply receive it. And people say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. I know what he did. Amen. That's the saving grace of God extended to you. He didn't die for you because you're so pure. He died for you because he's so pure. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. 1 Corinthians 15 10, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what Paul said. Let's go ahead and look at verse 9 and 10. We'll throw them both up there. Paul writes, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, here it is. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm born again, child of God. And his grace towards me, though, was not in vain. Look at this. But I labored more abundantly than all the apostles. Did you see that? He said, God's grace wasn't in vain. I didn't sit on my hands and sing kumbaya, hoping the rapture comes while the world goes to hell in a handbasket. He said, I got this grace, and then guess what happened? Grace started laboring. He says here, I labored more abundantly than they all, but it wasn't me alone. It was the grace of God which was with me. Everybody say partnership. So saving grace came into Paul and made him a brand new creation. How many of you know he needed it? He was killing Christians. But then a grace and a power began to work inside of Paul and produce a lot of good fruit and a lot of good works. Now, he wasn't doing it to be saved. It was happening because he was saved. He wasn't doing it to be holy. He was doing it because he was holy. By the saving grace of God. So it's not the grace of God by itself. He says it's the grace of God with me through my simple faith. So there's a grace to be what we couldn't be. And then there's a grace that labors through us to work the works of God. Amen. Saving grace makes us a new creation. Laboring grace empowers us to do the will of God. And I think it's a great partnership. What a wonderful picture. He said he's laboring, but it's really not him. It's the grace of God in him through his consent. Again, we got to get this in our churches, in the body of Christ. This is why so many people burn out. 83% of unchurched people today were regular attenders at one time. 83%. That tells me they got yoked to something other than the grace of God laboring through them. So, laboring grace doesn't nullify saving grace. It fulfills saving grace. Saving grace comes in and literally passes the baton to laboring grace and says, all right, now he's a new creation. Let's go to work. Let's partner together and work the works of God in the earth. Saving grace can't be, well, I've got my ticket to heaven. I guess I'll just hold on till the end. Who in heaven needs your help? Amen. I mean, here we got God giving you grace. He's giving you power. He's giving you the kingdom. He's giving you the spirit. He gave you his word. Gave you his blood. All for here. Amen. What if God is way more interested in getting all of heaven into you than he is getting all of us into heaven? Amen. I'm not taking heaven away from you. You can have it when it's your time. But I think until then, if you read the same passages in scripture I'm reading, he's very interested in transforming the earth through partnership with born again children of God. He saves them by his power, and then the grace of God, laboring grace, empowering grace begins to work in and through us. Paul did not say, I got the grace of God so I could sit on my hands and do nothing. He started laboring and partnering with the grace of God that was in him. How many of you know if you have a revelation of the grace of God that leads to laziness and slothfulness, that's probably just a doctrine in your head and not the person of Christ at work in your heart? Because a doctrine is not empowering. An intellectual consent or a belief in our mind is not empowering. But Jesus Christ is empowering. Titus 2:11 says the grace of God has appeared to all mankind. Appeared. What does that mean? Grace is a person. He appeared. And now that person by the Spirit trains us in godliness. Titus 2:11. He's teaching us and training us to walk even as he has walked. I like what Mike said last week. Mike Daniel, he said, grace is running at rest. So I'm at rest in Christ. I'm not running and striving and working hard my own power so God will love me. I'm at rest. But am I running? Yes, I am running. How many of you know, when Pastor Steve is teaching, I'm just available. But I'm here. I could have chose to stay at home. But I'm here, and what's happening? Through my simple yieldedness, the Spirit of God works in and through me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. One gentleman said, there's grace that comes to me, but now there's a grace that works through me. And so here it is. This is number two. Laboring or empowering grace. It's God's empowerment at work in and through each one of us. Saving grace is when God's power came in. Laboring grace is God's power coming out. Saving grace is God's power to come in and save you and transform you. Laboring grace is God's power coming out of you. Don't you think it's about time the world saw, instead of a bunch of deadhead church, they saw empowered, grace-filled people. Amen. They have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in them, upon them, and through them. Amen. Yes. Amen. Christianity is not the carnal imitation of Jesus. Good luck being like Jesus without him. Amen. Christianity is the indwelling of Jesus. And just like the Spirit of God graced the initial body of Christ, today he's gracing the body of Christ, the current body of Christ. Who is the body of Christ?
We are.
Nobody has ever said, I am. Because collectively, we're the body of Christ. Gretchen already taught you this morning in that few moments that when you take a grace that you have and you join it, not jealous of my grace, but join it with my grace, and I join my grace with others, we grow in grace. And the world gets a more fuller picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is good. Don't get quiet on me in here. This is supposed to be full gospel, is it? I can't just preach saving grace because God needs you to be empowered to help people and show Jesus to people. Amen. There are people on this planet who've never seen Jesus. And this is a mystery, but they can see him through you. They can know he loves them through you. He can convey His love for them through using your mouth. By you opening His wallet. Do you catch that? It's not your wallet, it's His wallet. This is the New Testament. All right, I'm pretty sure it's the New Testament. We don't need to be so tight we squeak when we walk. So many Christians do 90% of the work in their own ability for a 10% blessing. Woo, that's a stout statement right there. He wants to give you 100% power through your 100% yieldedness. Can I say it again? Don't do 90% of the work for a 10% blessing. Like God's up there as the cosmic slot machine and you're down here trying to trip the trigger to get yourself 10% blessing. He is inside of you. And He's going to supply 100% power through your 100% willingness. Now give Him praise in the house of God. Woo-hoo! Amen. Jesus wants to show up through you. He's still today. He's still today healing and saving and touching and loving. And Jesus is still encouraging people. But He's using us to do it. You know, even though Christ's work at the cross and through the cross is finished, His work through the church is not finished. Have you looked at our nation lately? Our nation needs a lot of help. Our nation needs to be able to see Christ. I'm so glad I'm saved and I got a ticket to heaven. Well, nobody in heaven needs our help. They're all here. So we need to be available. Look at Hebrews 12:28. Here's another powerful passage. Therefore, since we are earning, since we're receiving a kingdom, you want to participate with the kingdom of God, be poor enough to receive it. Since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. There's a way to serve God acceptably. What is it? His power, not yours. That's how we serve God acceptably. His power through human weakness. Just the acknowledgement that we need Him. If it's going to be any good today, it's going to have to be Him. Back in 2011, I was getting ready to start a series on prayer. And I was excited, but I was a little nervous. I was a little tense about it. I was in the prayer room before part one of the series. We get ready to launch the series on that Sunday morning. And so I'm in the prayer room and I'm kind of, you know, worried about it. And I guess he figured out I was worried. Because he spoke to me so clearly. Guess what he said to me? He said, Steve, what you have to say is really not that important. Struck a blow to my ego. To my pride, to my independence. Really, I didn't want any of that. He just revealed the truth to me of what I was doing. I was starting to take on the weight of producing something. I mean, you know, fruit doesn't come from the branch. It comes through the branch from the vine. So he said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, how about you just go out there and when it's your turn to get up there, just be available and I will speak through you to all those people what I want them to know about prayer. You want to talk about setting me free? Go ahead and give God praise. Sorry about that. Go ahead. What did he need? My human energy, my human effort? No, he needed humility. The simple acknowledgement that if there's going to be truth, we're going to help people today, it's going to have to be him. Just a couple of years ago, I was invited to speak at Pastor Dwayne Sheriff's church down in Durant for a pastors and leaders conference. And, you know, I think my heart was right. I'd spoken there before, but for some reason, this particular time, I was feeling the weight of it and the pressure because I want to do well. How many of you know? I think there's something good in that if Pastor Dwayne asks you to speak, you want to do well. I think that's okay. But I was getting kind of spun up about it and the Lord talked to me again and, He said, Steve, your problem is that right now in your heart, you're trying to go down there and preach a great message. He said, what you need to do is go down there with a heart to help those people. If you'll just humble yourself and you'll care that they get something. He said, in the midst of that, I'll use you. and I'll use you, and we'll work together, and we'll help all those people. But you can't go down there trying to preach a great message. You have to go down there just with a heart to help. And this is why, church, the Holy Spirit, grace, comes running to humility and sincerity and truth. Amen. When we're just honest, when we're just humble, when we're just sincere. Lord, I want to help. That's where grace comes. Does that make sense to you? Amen. And you think of all the ministers, think of all the pastors, think of all the people in the body of Christ, small group leaders, whoever they may be, who have been spun up to try to produce something with a good heart for Him. But you can't produce anything for Him without Him. It's going to have to come from Him. So He says here, I want us to have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. So that's going to be through His ability, not mine. But look at this, with reverence and godly fear. Do you realize that the grace of God produces a reverence for God? A godly fear? Grace doesn't produce license. Like, it doesn't matter what we do. Sin doesn't matter. That's not grace. Grace produces in the believer a reverence for God, a thankfulness to God, a holy fear of God. Boy, that's powerful stuff there. That's powerful stuff. So thank God for a grace to serve in the body of Christ. Thank God for a grace to serve in church. I love our greeters. The people we have at the door love you all. That's not by accident. That is their grace. There's an ability in them to meet people and put people at ease. That's grace. Everybody say that's grace. Do you know that visitors to churches decide within the first 11 minutes whether they'll ever come back? Within 11 minutes they've decided whether anybody wants me here or not. So wouldn't it make sense that we're not just looking for somebody who's got grace to pastor or be on pastoral staff? We want grace in our volunteers. We want them in the right seat on the bus. So don't put your closet prayer recluse people, who are great intercessors, by the way, but they don't enjoy people as much as they might enjoy praying and being alone with the Lord. Don't put them at the door. Are you hearing me? I'll tell you, church, I spent some time in prayer away at Durant this week. I'm so excited for 2017. The Lord has talked to me about relaying the old foundations. And some of those foundations are servanthood, humility, unity within the body. Just some very wonderful, powerful things. Part of that, discipleship. I mean, the church in America has got to get back to discipleship. Sunday for an hour and a half with Jesus, that's not going to cut it. We've seen the fruit of that. We need to be eating and feeding through the week. We need repetition and reinforcement. You guys remember Keith Green, the worship guy from the 80s? I love Keith Green. They make fun of me for it. But he said the other day, I was listening to a recording, and he said so many people treat church anymore like prison ministry. And he said, they just go once a week. It's their duty to go. They walk in. Jesus is there. He's the one in prison. Hey, Jesus, how you doing? I hadn't talked to you all week, but hey, here I am. I'm doing my duty. Are they treating you well? We need to relay the foundation of discipleship. We need to not just be hearers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. We need application and to walk out the truth. I'm telling you, the world needs the body of Christ full of grace and truth. The first body of Christ was John chapter 1, right? We beheld His glory and He was full of grace and truth. Well, if you want grace, humble yourself. Acknowledge your need of God. How many of you ever struggle in relationships? Only that many. Proverbs 13:10. I wish it wasn't in the Bible, but it is. Only by pride comes contention and strife. I mean, if we're struggling in relationships, maybe your marriage relationship, you're always at each other. You know what you need? Humility. You need humility in your relationship. mutual submission, where you always seek to understand their perspective before you demand to be understood. Amen? My Bible says love never demands its own way. We need to be better listeners, not as quick to speak. If we're struggling in relationships, and that relationship could be in your marriage, your family, your work, your job, wherever you are, God gives grace. We need His supernatural power and ability to the humble. Can I get a witness on that, somebody? Amen. We need it. We need it. All right, so thank God for a grace to serve in church, in your marriage. Pride doesn't work very good in your marriage, does it? Selfishness? No. So we need that in your job, your school, your small group, wherever you may be. Thank God for a grace that keeps us free from human self-effort, keeps us free from relying on ourselves. Thank God for a Heavenly Father who wants to show Himself strong on our behalf, not the other way around. Most of the Christian doctrine in America is we try to show ourselves strong for Him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says He's looking throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on your behalf, in and through you. Thank God for a grace that doesn't demand something of me, but supplies something to me. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul said, He laid a proper foundation. And then he said, I did it by the grace of God. I laid the foundation by the grace of God. In other words, I was there, He was using me, but it was totally His ability and His power. This is the new wave of the church. His ability, His power, through our simple humility and weakness. A servant's heart. An available person. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be servant of all. Who'd have thought the key word in that passage was all? Because anybody can be a servant of some. Some people serve their own race. They'll serve their own denomination. They'll serve certain people. Jesus has been given the name above every name, the seat above every seat. Why? Because He was servant of all. That's what needs to be rebirthed in the church in America again. Are you listening to me? Because I really believe you're listening to Him right now. I really believe this is His heart for us. And I want more than anything His heart. We can grow in doctrine and our knowledge and our understanding all day long, but if we don't have the spirit of the letter, we'll lose everything. In Colossians 3:16, Paul said, when you teach each other and you encourage each other, and listen, he said, when you sing to one another, do it with grace in your hearts. Teaching, encouraging, singing by the grace of God. 1 Peter 4:11, we already looked at. Minister to one another. Minister as good stewards by the grace and ability God supplies. So there's a grace that gives us security, and then there's a grace that gives us great power. Jeremy, you guys can come. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We'll wrap this up. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's the mystery? Look at this. Christ inside of you. Not far off in heaven and doing this or this. He's in you to will and to do His good pleasure. The hope of glory. Him we preach. Did you catch it? It doesn't say church membership we preach. We preach Grace Church. We preach this. We preach Him. Choctaw doesn't need a church program. They need Jesus. Living triumphantly in their hearts. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That word perfect means mature. Verse 29, to this end I also labor. Look at this. Paul says, I labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Let me show it to you. New Living Translation. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. What was his struggle? If he strived at anything, it was to depend on Christ and not himself. Because there's something worse than failure, and it's success after the flesh. Hello? There's something worse than failure, and it's when we succeed independent of Christ. Which is a deception, of course, but we get there. Verse 29, Amplified Version, for this I labor, often to the point of exhaustion, striving with His power and energy, superhuman energy, church, which so greatly works within me. That is laboring grace. Aren't you glad we serve a God and a Jesus who is alive? Who's alive? He's not a historical figure. He's alive in you. God's power came in to save you. God's power now wants to come out to execute the kingdom through you. Will you stand with me? Praise God. You guys got something? I feel the Holy Spirit. Will you just open your hands? Father, we're so washed by your word. And we don't want to just be hearers, Lord. We want to apply it. We want to walk it out. Lord, whether it's in our marriage today or it's in our family today or through the week, maybe our job, yes, through the week, Lord, that we can apply that grace, your power is simply looking for our availability. I pray your greatest grace, Lord, upon every person here and those participating online as well. Bless them. And Father, would you forgive us when we do strive independently of you? Forgive us when we look to ourselves and trip our own selves up by doing so. But Lord, it is your word and your spirit married together that enrich us, that we can be full of grace and full of truth. Make this church everything you want it to be. Make us everything you want us to be. So that everywhere we go, Lord, people can see the gospel. Not just hear it, they can see your power at work in us. For those families that are hurting here today, I pray for them. I pray for grace and humility and mutual submission. That they would honor one another. They would respect one another. That they would listen to each other. Father, we want to leave a legacy for generations to come around here of functional and humble Christianity. We want to leave this legacy. So Lord, we give you permission. Use us. We know we'd have never picked ourselves, but you have picked us. So let your grace, let your fruit, let your power be made manifest through each and every one of us. Especially knowing, Lord, that we are greater together than we are as individual parts. Bind our hearts together, knit us together. That when people see us, Lord, that they can see a better picture of you. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We give our hearts to you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's sing it one time. Come on, let's sing it with Brother Jeremy. This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.